Lamar Burks. All right.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Scott Franklin. I represent the defendant, Lamar Burks. The only issue raised in this appeal is a sentencing issue. Two of the defendants' prior state court cases have been consolidated for the purposes of calculating his criminal history. As stated in our brief, the background is this. On July 27, 1999, the defendant pled guilty to two cases. These cases did occur on two separate dates, December 1, 1997, and February 4, 1998. Both cases involve similar facts in that they both involve the use of a false name to buy a car. The trial court did not consolidate the prior cases, stating that the defense had not established that the cases had been consolidated for sentencing. But the record of this case establishes, I think, as well as common sense and experience, that the cases were consolidated for sentencing. The two cases were factually similar. The defendant used the same fake name in both schemes, and both schemes are basically the same, the attempt to buy a car using a false name. He was arrested on one offense, and then there was no intervening arrest. The FBI alerted the state authorities regarding the second offense, and he was charged with both offenses. In fact, in federal court, if he had been charged for these offenses, I believe that he would have been charged in a single indictment under one scheme. Both cases were resolved simultaneously before one judge after one 402 conference for what appears to have been a compromise settlement. The same sentence was imposed in both cases. The sentences were to run concurrently. The cases carried a 3 to 7 year sentence. The defendant received a 4 year sentence on both cases to run concurrently, which I submit indicates the judge was compromising both cases and considering both cases at the time he was making his offer at the 402 conference.
Were you representing him at that time?
I was not. To insist that the cases were not consolidated for sentence, that these cases, of all cases, where there's such a similarity of the facts and where the circumstances of the plea and the discussion of the plea and the conviction, which all occurred on the same day, to insist, as the government does, that these were not consolidated is to argue, as the government must, and the government does in its brief, that absent an order of consolidation, there should be no consolidation of offenses from state court for the purposes of determining a federal court sentence. It would also require this court to reverse United States versus Joseph. There's already a test in this circuit, a functional consolidation test that was enunciated in Joseph by Judge Posner, that cases should be considered consolidated when they are factually or logically related and sentencing was joined. This case easily satisfies that test because the defendant's prior cases were factually and logically related. Not in time, maybe. Maybe there was a separation and the fact that they were separate offenses on different dates. But they were factually similar, and the discussions that were had regarding the resolution of the case at the 402 conference, that all happened at the same time. And the sentences that were imposed were concurrent and were the same sentences in both cases. In Joseph, the case came out differently. I believe that that's because the defendant in that case was sentenced to prison terms of different lengths, and there was
in
United States versus Joseph.
In different, what did you say?
He was sentenced to prison terms of different lengths, and there was
what
no
difference would that make if they were consolidated?
Well, the case, it was held ultimately in Joseph that the cases were not consolidated under the functional consolidation test that was enunciated there.
Well, I know the government mentions it and there's the argument that it wasn't raised below, but couldn't we just do with a bright line test to get rid of the functional thing and say if the state court consolidates them, they're consolidated. If they didn't, they're not.
Well, there are a couple reasons I think that that's not advisable in this case. First of all, it required this court to overrule the precedent, not only in Joseph, which was decided in 1995, but some subsequent Seventh Circuit cases have relied on the functional consolidation test. And it hasn't been a very difficult determination to make.
In other words, your theory is even though they're not consolidated in this state court system, that the federal court should do it, even though it isn't their case?
I believe that they were consolidated. There just wasn't a formality of a consolidation order that was entered.
Don't you think that's pretty important?
I believe that, practically speaking, a consolidation order would never be entered in a case in cases such as Mr. Burke's. I do believe that it would be, it's important to look at, it's one issue to look at, was a consolidation order entered. But I don't believe that that should be the sine qua non, because why would a court, as in Defendant Burke's case, why would the court go through the meaningless formality of entering a consolidation order? They can reach the same end just by doing what the court did.
In order that you make a good court record, so that it isn't brought up against the defendant at some future date, just like we have right here now.
Right, I understand that, but
that's why it isn't meaningless, as you said.
Except that, as the government points out in its brief, the only statutory authority for consolidation in state court, at least in Illinois, is consolidation for trial. There isn't a separate statute that allows courts to, or instructs the court to consolidate on the record with an order cases for sentencing.
And so that reason that you just gave is the reason you're saying it's not practical to assume a trial court judge in the state court would consolidate as a matter of just trying to make a clean record, because there's no requirement, no rule or anything in state law that requires that.
Exactly. And as a matter of practical course, consolidation orders such as this are never entered, as far as I know, in state court just for the purposes of sentencing.
Well, I can tell you they are in Wisconsin, have been for all the years that I was on the bench.
Okay. I'm speaking in terms of Illinois, which...
I understand.
Okay. And Mr. Burks was sentenced in an Illinois state court. One last point that I'd like to raise regarding the government's argument is that the probation officer, in this case, did a fine job looking into the defendant's background and raising the issue before the court, and the court had an opportunity to evaluate the facts. We disagree with the court's determination of the facts. However, I don't believe that it's so burdensome that a bright-line test is warranted. And I think much of the government's argument on this point is basically that it's too much trouble. It's too much work for us to go through to get behind the record and figure out what exactly happened. I don't think it's too much trouble. I think that the system is set up exactly the way it is to look into matters such as this and prepare the court to enter a fair sentence. Thank you very much.
All right, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, Eric Wilson on behalf of the United States. The defendant did not argue below, and he's not arguing here, that the two prior state cases were part of a common scheme or plan. Indeed, as Mr. Frankel noted, the only issue for this court to decide is whether those two prior state cases were consolidated for sentencing. The government submits that the district court correctly determined that the two prior convictions were not consolidated for sentencing within the meaning of the commentary to Guideline 4A1.2. First of all, there was never a formal order of consolidation. The cases continually retained separate docket numbers. The sentencing judge in the state court entered separate sentencing orders for each of the two cases.
Now, your opponent has indicated that, however, the practice in Illinois is, if they're going to be consolidated, it's not until you get to the point where you're setting it for trial. Do you agree with that?
There is no statutory authority in Illinois that the government could locate specifically authorizing a judge to consolidate for sentencing. There's no statutory authority in the federal system either. All we have is Rule 8 that says cases can be joined together in the same indictment. If there's a number of factors set forth in Rule 8, if they're similar, arise out of the same transaction, so forth. A similar statute exists in Illinois law. If the cases were indeed consolidated for trial, as a matter of fact, they'd be consolidated for sentencing as well. Certainly, however, a judge, if the judge has the authority to sentence the defendant for two separate cases, seems to the government that judge would have the inherent authority to enter an order consolidating the cases at the time of sentencing. if the judge wanted to make the record clear that the judge was effectively considering the cases together for purposes of sentencing and entering, in effect, one sentence for both cases.
So there's no statute, but have you found any cases in the Illinois system that address this issue or this question?
No, Your Honor.
Or that require a judge to make that finding of consolidation upon a plea rather than a trial or for purposes of sentencing?
No, Your Honor. And to be sure, in this case here, the defendant was sentenced by the exact same state court judge on the same day and received concurrent sentences. However, this court has repeatedly held that that alone is not sufficient to demonstrate that the cases were consolidated for sentencing within the meaning of Guideline 4A1.2. The defendant has the burden of pointing to something in the record that shows that the judge considered the cases sufficiently related and, in effect, entered one sentence for both cases. Mr. Birch did not meet that burden in the district court, and for that reason, the government respectfully requests that this court should affirm the sentence imposed by the district court. But the government also contends that the court should take this opportunity to re-examine this functional consolidation test for determining whether cases are, in fact, consolidated for sentencing. The government respectfully submits that fundamental problem with this test is that it's entirely unclear how the test should be satisfied. The court has said that to satisfy this test, there needs to be some showing in the record, as I've said, that the previous sentencing judge considered the cases sufficiently related and effectively entered one sentence for the two cases. But what does that mean? It's unclear. I mean, I could dream up of a scenario on the transcript where the judge would make that showing. Judge Conlon, in this case, determined that the cases had not been consolidated for sentencing. She determined that the defendant had not met his burden of showing that the judge considered the cases related. But does that mean a different judge in this building would have come to the same result? It's not entirely clear. And because of that, the government contends that this functional consolidation test leads to, in effect, arbitrary and inconsistent results, which is directly contrary to one of the paramount goals of the sentencing guidelines, which is to provide uniformity in sentencing. And moreover, the functional consolidation test is directly contrary to another goal of sentencing, which is efficiency. And that's the point that the First Circuit made so well in the Correa opinion, which is that a federal sentencing hearing should not be an archaeological dig, I think the court said. The formal consolidation order would, in effect, give the federal sentencing judge a shorthand way, a quick way, to determine, yes, indeed, some judge with a lot more familiarity with the facts of these cases, with the applicable state law, determined at some point in time that these cases were sufficiently related to enter an order consolidating them. And so requiring a formal order of consolidation would be a shorthand way for the federal sentencing judge to, in effect, make a finding of relatedness, which, after all, is what 4A1.2 asks the judge to do, to determine whether or not cases are related so that prior convictions don't overstate a defendant's criminal history score.
So wouldn't that be like we're imposing a rule on the state courts in Illinois that you have to make findings of consolidation or not make findings in anticipation of the fact that the defendant could appear before the federal court at some future point?
No, Your Honor. The way the government views it is this court would merely be finding that third category that the Sentencing Commission has told district court judges that it can consider for purposes of determining whether cases are related, that being that they're consolidated for trial or sentencing, that category should only be satisfied when there's a formal order of consolidation, because you already have the two categories, whether they occurred on the same occasion, whether they're part of the common scheme or plan, to take care of those cases that are have some factual or logical relation to each other. Why overburden that inquiry with this additional functional consolidation test? That's the government's view. Its impact on state law is irrelevant in the government's view. It's merely an easy way for a federal sentencing judge to determine if cases are related. We think, Your Honors, that insisting on a formal order of consolidation would be more reliable, it would be more uniform, and more practical, and certainly less burdensome. And for those reasons, the government respectfully requests that this court should abandon this functional consolidation test. And in doing so, Your Honor, the government also respectfully requests that the court affirm the conviction and sentence of defendant Lamar Burke.
Thank you, counsel.
Your Honors, the government argues that without a bright line test, you would end up with arbitrary results. However, in the Joseph case, Judge Posner, the government urged the court to adopt a bright line test, such as the government is urging here, and Judge Posner rejected it because of the reasoning that a bright line test requiring an order of consolidation would likewise result in arbitrary results, where you would have cases that were functionally consolidated but weren't considered consolidated in federal court simply because the mere formality of a consolidation order hadn't been entered. And the functional consolidation test has operated fine. The system, the sentencing structure that we have with the probation office preparing a pre-sentence investigation report to advise the court regarding these background matters works satisfactorily. There's no need to reject the functional consolidation test that has stood for so long in this circuit. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement. See the case number 2.